Morning.
Bess, happy birthday. Today is your birthday, actually today? Yesterday. 1927 is when you were born. It's so good to have you here. Hey, would you stand with me? We are going to read from Hebrews chapter 10. A great text, and we're going to be really kind of swimming in this text today, and it's a great text. Some people think the Apostle Paul wrote this, but he didn't put his name to it because he was in trouble with the Jewish people. Some people think we don't know who wrote this text of Hebrews, but great piece of scripture in the Bible, and it says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your amazing Son, Jesus. We come, Lord, this day with purpose and meaning, for truly this is Sunday. As the Bible would say, the first day of the week. And for 2,000 years, followers of Jesus has assembled on Mondays, the day of his resurrection, to worship our Savior, to seek his wisdom and counsel, and to worship within a community of believers. And Lord, this morning, we as a community of faith come, God, to seek your face, to worship you in spirit and truth. We pray, Lord, for your presence to fall upon us in a very special way. We ask, God, that you would guide us into all truth and that you would speak into our hearts, not just collectively, but individually, for truly you know each one of us. Lord, this day we have been commanded in Scripture to pray for the governing authorities over our lands. And God, this morning we choose to honor the mandate of Scripture by praying for our new administration, for praying for our new president. We ask God for Donald Trump. We pray, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit on him. We pray, God, that he would find out more about who you are, as he is in an awesome place of power and authority within our country and within the world. We pray, God, that he would come to meet Jesus and to know Jesus. We pray, Lord, that he would one day really embrace strongly to follow Christ. We pray for his spiritual journey. We pray for his soul. We ask God that you would help this man to do good in the world. He needs your help. We as Christians pray for him and for all those that hold seats of power in Washington, D.C. May they fear you. May they fear God and act accordingly. For indeed, all of us one day are going to stand before your throne and give an account of our lives. Let's we pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
You all may be seated. Has anyone ever been down to Dana Point? The harbor in Dana Point. Harbor and Dana Point. I was a brand new believer in Jesus in my own spiritual journey. As a matter of fact, most of you know, but I came kicking and screaming into this faith thing. I mocked Christians. I mocked people like you for many years until I began reading the text and hanging out with people like the writings of C.S. Lewis and so forth. And when I became a brand new Christian, I grew up in Big Bear and went to Palm Springs High School, and I decided I had the mountains and I had the desert. What does California also offer? The ocean. So I moved down to Dana Point and kind of started a new life. It was just a brand new season for me. I was a brand new believer in Jesus, and I moved down to Dana Point, and I would actually spend a lot of great time walking out on the jetty of Dana Point. There's a gazebo up there, up on the hill, and I would go to that gazebo and pray in my new faith that I had in Christ. And I had some great times actually walking along that jetty just in prayer sessions. And in storms, waves will actually crack over the jetty and into the harbor. And I actually had some times where I was out there walking and praying, and I'd have a waves crack over the front of me and then over the back, and I'd be like, I better get out of here. I'm going to get in trouble. If you go to Dana Point, there's this ship called the Pilgrim. Has anyone seen it? Wonderful ship. It's a beautiful sailing vessel. It's at an ocean institute. And if you get a chance to go on it, you can see it. And as a matter of fact, a few times I've actually been out in the ocean and I've seen the ships go by, and it's gorgeous. Have you guys seen it? Okay. What does this ship need in order to sail? I love it all. It does need a crew, it does need water, it does need wind, it needs all these things. Let me say this morning, I want to focus on one thing. This ship cannot sail without people. Do you see the people on the ship? If it wasn't for the people, the ship doesn't go anywhere. I want you to just settle that in a little bit. This ship sails with people. It can't sail without people. It needs a crew on it. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote to his young apprentice, Timothy, who at the time was pastoring a church in Ephesus, and he was having a hard time. And Paul wrote Timothy a letter that's a part of the Bible called 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to stand his post, to stay there. He reminds him about his calling. He reminds him to fight the good fight. And he says, don't suffer shipwreck with regards to your faith. Okay, now actually, here's the text. It is a beautiful text. It's the text that we've chosen to use in this series. It says, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Don't we all want to do that? Holding on to the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regards to the faith. Timothy, stand your ground, hang in there. I'm encouraging you to fight the good fight, so forth. And then Paul uses this imagery of a ship, and I found this so fascinating because if you study the scriptures and you just walk through this historical figure named Paul, you'll find that he once was in a literal shipwreck. He crashed on the island of Malta as he was in prison heading from Caesarea up to Rome, and he got in a shipwreck. Paul lived through a literal shipwreck, and I think it's so cool that he would use the imagery of your faith and my faith being like a ship and the possibility of our faith running aground. Last week we talked about how important the Holy Scriptures are to our faith, but that by the Word of God our faith is built, and by the Word of God our faith is guided. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Our faith is built by the Scriptures and guided by the Scriptures. What else does our faith need to sail? And it needs, just like this sailing ship down in Dana Point Harbor, our faith needs people. Our faith needs others in our lives. Our faith needs a crew. Our faith needs shipmates. As a matter of fact, I want you to take notes today, because time for you just to stir this in with me a little bit. Take notes. Are you ready? Note number one. Our faith in Jesus sails in community. Our faith in Jesus sails in community. And I want you closely, listen closely to this text once again of Hebrews chapter 10. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, you're going to hear the discussion of two things. This slice of scripture speaks on our faith and our need for others in our faith. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Did you see it? Did you notice in the text there are two things? Our faith in Jesus, and it speaks about our need and our importance of shipmates in our journey. Let's read it again. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, the presence of God, we have confidence to enter the presence of God. How? By you being a good person? Is that how you have confidence to enter the holy place? By you being a good person? Working your way to God by good works? Through moral effort? Is that how you enter the presence of God? Answer? No. You can't do it. You can't be good enough to atone for who we are, right? You aren't holy enough to be with God. So if you can't come by you, then who do you come into the presence of God by? The blood of Christ. You can enter the presence of God by the blood of Christ. Our faith doesn't sail, people, by our good works, but by Christ's saving work on the cross. Right? We approach God the Father confidently, created by Christ's completed work for us on the cross. Remember what Jesus said on the cross right before he died. What did he say, people? It is finished. The paying of debt, of sin, of humanity before a holy God is paid now. Finished. His work, his blood. The gospel. It's the good news. You don't work your way up to God because you just can't make it. As much as how much of a running start you can make in leaping from California, you're not going to leap to Hawaii. I don't care how good of a runner you are, how much you practice. It's just impossible. If there is any other way, God would have made that way. It's his son, Jesus. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, Jesus opened up a whole new situation for sinners when he died and when he came back to life. He's a new way. It says he inaugurated. Did you guys see the inauguration? That was a transition. It was something new happened. Jesus dying on the cross is a new way. There's a new sheriff in town, right? A new and living way. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he wasn't just some goat or sheep at temple in the Old Testament. He is the living sacrifice. He's a new way, a living way. Your sins just haven't been covered. They've been cast as far as from the east as to the west. How far is that? Can you even measure from the east as to the west? They're gone. It's a new way, a living way. Your sins haven't been covered. They've been removed. Gone. It's beautiful. Through Christ. He's the new doorkeeper at the house of God. He's the new high priest. He's the one standing between you and the presence of God. And he says, come on in. Right? It's beautiful. It's absolutely awesome. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, what should we do? Let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Right? There's the ship. There's the ship. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The sprinkling of the heart signifies the effects of the blood of Christ in our innermost being. We are cleansed within by his shed blood, and we are washed by living water. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in inner regeneration. As we are born again, born anew, born from above, sprinkled, washed. This is the ship. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful Old Testament imagery. This is the essence of the Christian faith, done for us and given to us. Not by our works, but by the works of Christ. And this happened to you, my friends, the day that you said yes to Jesus, whenever that was. The day you accepted Jesus on the cross, this happened to you in an instant. Who did this for you? People, he's your sacrifice. People, he is your Savior. People, he is the Lord. And people, he's your friend. For Jesus said, there's no greater friend than this, than one would lay down his life for his friends. He did this for you. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another, because all this is true. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see our day drawing near. There's the shipmates, right? Our faith, people, sails, and community. The people are on deck of our faith to stimulate us to love, to good deeds, to encourage us. The word assembly. Do you know what the Hebrew word for assembly is? Does anyone know what the Hebrew word for assembly is? Congregation? Synagogue. Synagogue. Ah, somebody got it over there. Ah, I got it. The Hebrew word for assembly is synagogue. The Greek word is ecclesia. The English translation of that, does anyone know what the English translation is? Church. Church. Behold, look around right now. Just look around. Do you see this? This is called an assembly. This is an assembly or a congregation. This is in the Hebrew, this is our synagogue. This is an assembly of people who come to meet, to know, and follow Jesus. This is an assembly. Kind of cool, isn't it? Not forsaking the assembly. This is, by the way, can I tell you, behold your shipmates. There they are. In this local congregation in Irvine, California, behold your crew at Woodbridge Community Church. There we are. Write this down. It's the truth. You need your shipmates. And your shipmates need you. Right? That's number three. Number two, to keep your faith in Jesus off the rocks, what do you need? You need each other. People, if you want to avoid shipwreck with regards to your faith, you need people in your life. You can't sail your ship alone. It just wasn't designed that way. Friendships. Can you have friendships alone? Just wasn't designed that way, right? Can you be married alone? Well, I'm just going to try. Good luck. Just, it's not designed that way. Can you play tennis alone? Who do you hit the ball to? Can you play, is the game of soccer designed to be played alone? Who do you pass to? People, our faith is designed to be lived in community. And people who try to go against this spiritual truth run aground. They run aground. You need shipmates. And your shipmates need you. Do you remember when you first figured this out? Have you guys figured this spiritual truth out yet? Here's the law of gravity. It's a natural law. There is a spiritual law. And the spiritual law is this. You cannot, should not sail your faith alone. It's a spiritual law. Have you figured out this spiritual law? When did you first figure out this spiritual law? Can you remember? When I first moved down here, for the first 6 months I moved down to Dana Point, I had this attitude, it's just me and Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. It's just Jesus and me. And then my cousin, who was living in Mission Viejo, he invited me to church for the first time. Frankie became a Christian. Oh, we should invite him to our church. And he did. And I went to the church. I went to a church for the first time in my life when I was 21 years of age. Mission Hills Baptist Church. And when I went to Mission Hills Baptist Church on Alicia Parkway, Mission Viejo, I immediately began connecting with a group of people that I will forever be indebted to. I got my first crew in my faith. I first started meeting people within the church. We started doing calls to help us out in the ministry with the children's program. I'm like, all right, the youth program, I'll do that. I started meeting. People started getting involved in my life. And these were amazing people. They were more mature in the faith than me. They were wiser than me. And these people began to stimulate me in how to love other people. What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? And these people were showing me how. These people stimulated my love and good deeds. They, all of a sudden, I'm going down to Mexico on missions trips. I'm like, I don't want to go to Mexico. Okay, I'll go. And the Lord, right? They began, this first crew that I began to sail with early in my faith was so precious to me, and I could sit here and list names. This was my crew. I want to tell you, as this crew got involved in my life, guess what happened to my ship? It sailed beautifully. Man, I was sailing. As these people were in my life and I was in their life, our faith sailed. God designs it this way. When did you first figure this out in your life? Do you remember? Think about it. Jesus just didn't call one disciple, did he? He called many, didn't he? Read the scriptures. Show me a time when Jesus sent out his disciples alone. He always sent them out in groups. Why? Because our faith is designed to be lived in community. And Jesus knows this. And when we live in community, it is such a beautiful witness for Jesus. Listen to these words. The night before Jesus died, and this section of scripture I'm about to read, is just taken out of the Thursday night before his death. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, to love one another, just as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." John 15, 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." John 15, 17, "This is my commandment, love each other." Many people know John 3, 16. How many of us know 1 John 3, 16 through 18? Says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or with speech, but with actions and with truth." Jesus loves us and sacrifices for us. And we should for each other in community. Galatians is a wonderful text. In 6 verses 9 and 10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good." Does any of you get ever weary in doing good? Do you ever just get, "Man, Jesus, I'm serving you, I'm a little weary"? It happens. It's work. I'm a little weary in the children's program. God, you know, Lord, I don't want to come and run the computer on a Thursday for Sunday. Wow, I'm a little weary. And do you ever get weary in doing good? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up serving the Lord, right? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to who belong to the family of believers. The scripture says, do good to all people, but especially the congregation. Why? Why especially to the family of God? Does anyone know? Because God wants his family to be known for its love more than anything else. Our greatest witness to the world that Jesus is real is seen in our love and support for one another, how we treat each other. It's so cool, these flowers. Barbara Hayline passed away this last week. Barbara and Ray used to sit right back there, and her memorial service was yesterday. We had a wonderful service, and Barbara and Ray's daughter, Melody, is a lieutenant in the Los Angeles Police Department. And so we had lots of people with guns here yesterday at the memorial service. And one of the lieutenants just gave me the best compliment. She says, "Pastor Frank," she goes, "what an amazing church this is. I can just see your love for God and each other here. How do you think that makes me feel?" She began sharing. She goes, "I was raised in the church," and she just tells her own spiritual journey. And she says, "But just this kind of stimulates me to my faith when I was younger." I love it. Why? Because people will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. By our love for one another. When I was 2 years ago, Pastor Frank, as you recall, broke out in hives. I had hives from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And our board says, you need to take a break. And I agree. And went on a sabbatical. And during my sabbatical, I spent a lot of time just being still before the Lord and trying to heal my body physically and just spending time with the Lord spiritually and emotionally. And during that time, I began writing out kind of my own spiritual timeline and just kind of remembered from the days when I first met the Lord and what was going on in my life. And I kind of did this walk down memory lane, and I so encourage you to get a chance to do that in your own life because it's very special. And in that, I began remembering all of these people that God placed in my life, that very first crew that I've sailed with. And I remember thinking of back to my early days and my first faith and those days of my first sweet communion with the Lord. And as I was thinking about all these people, I wrote in my journal these words. And I want you to write them down again. Note, you ready? I wrote in my journal, discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. And then I put in your notes, our spiritual growth happens in meaningful relationships. And I remember writing that down in my journal and just looking at it and staring at it. And I began thinking, when I first met the Lord and I first was sailing, it wasn't a sermon per se that radically changed my life. It wasn't some sermon on a Sunday that radically changed my life. When I look back to my days back when I was a first believer, it wasn't as much that message I heard, but you want to know what was the biggest element of impact in my life, or one of the biggest? It was the people I sailed with. Those are the memories I have. When I walked with these people and they walked with me, and for a season of life, we journeyed in Christ together and meeting Jesus and knowing Jesus and following Jesus. When I look back, it wasn't this sermon, it was the people. And I wrote it down. Spiritual growth happens in meaningful relationships, meaningful relationships. And then I stood back from it, and I said, that's so true. That was as true in my life back then as it is today. Is that your experience? Where would your faith be without people? Write this down. Here's a great note. In the scriptures, we're commanded to do things on the deck of our ship of faith. Do you know what it is? In the scriptures, we're commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, to admonish each other, to serve each other. We're called to teach each other. We're called to accept each other. The Bible calls us to honor each other. The Bible commands us to forgive each other, to be committed to each other, to bear each other's burdens in the love of Christ. Let me say that again. In the scriptures, we are commanded to love each other. Did you get that? In the scriptures, we're commanded to pray for each other. Did you all get that? In the scriptures, we're told to encourage each other. We're told to admonish each other. We're told to serve each other. We're told to teach each other. We're told to accept each other. We're told to honor each other. We're commanded, people, to forgive each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. We're told to be committed to each other. to bear each other's burdens in the love of Christ. Can you do any of this alone? Well, Pastor Frank, I don't go to church, but I listen to Christian radio. I listen to podcasts. Good for you. How's that working out for you? Is that podcast loving you? Are you loving the podcast? Are you bearing the podcast's burdens? Well, I don't need to be a Christian to go to church. Is that true? It's not by your works. Do you understand? You coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You are not earning your way to heaven by coming to church. Do you understand? Pastor Frank, I don't have to go to church to become a Christian. That's true. But let me tell you this. You will not sail. You will not flourish. Have you ever seen an organ cut off and set aside from the body? Do you know what happens to an organ that is cut off from the blood flow of the body and set on a table? Do you know what happens to that organ? It dies. Do you know what happens to a person that accepts the philosophy that I don't need other people in my faith, that I can just sail by myself? Do you know what happens to people that go down this path? This is what happens to them. There they are. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, Pastor. That's true. But you will never sail your ship without other people. Have you learned this? If you want to avoid shipwreck in your faith, you must be in community with other people. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual truth. You cannot sail effectively without a crew. Do you know what it's so funny. So this week, every week, as you know, Mondays, anyone who's teaching, we think about God, help us to know what you want us to say this Sunday morning. And on Mondays and Wednesdays, we work on our sermon, on the sermon. And then on Thursdays, we bring it before this Thursday, I brought this message before Pastor Graham and Pastor Vince and my brother Mike. And we sat in a room and I kind of walked through and this and this. And as we were just digesting and editing and cutting and trying to explain, this is where I'm heading, going, all eyes on deck here. As we began, we sat back in our chairs in the conference room and we said, 9 times out of 10, the first symptoms of spiritual decline in a brother or sister is inconsistent attendance within the assembly of believers. We all look at each other. We've pastored many years. We've done this a lot. And we sat back and you say, you know, as you watch a brother and a sister and all of a sudden we don't see them for a while, inconsistence, the first symptom of spiritual decline within their journey. All of a sudden, they're no longer in the assembly of believers. They've forsaken the assembly of believers. They're no longer involved. And all of a sudden, we see them distance, and where have you been, and this and that and the other. And pretty soon, it's like, well, then we hear, oh, they're ABC, and we're like, ah, right? It's always the first symptoms. When people get off, they isolate themselves, they insulate themselves from the Christian community, that is the first symptom of them about ready to have a lot of problems. And we just looked at each other and we're like, here's the spiritual truth. You need people in your life. And the people in your life need you. You need your crew, and your crew needs you. And if you think this isn't true, I promise you this is waiting for you. Can I ask you a question? Just real honest. Here it comes. Ready? Who was the last person that prayed for you? was the last person in your life that encouraged you? Do you got them in your mind? Who was the last person you prayed for? Who was the last person you encouraged in their faith? Can you remember? People, can I ask you a question? Who are you sailing with? In this season of your life, who is your crew? Who's your shipmates? Can I encourage you this week to take some time to thank God for these people? Take time this week to let them know how important they are in your journey and how you appreciate them. Would you please do that this week? Assess your crew. Who are you? Who's your crew? Who are you sharing your faith with? Who is sailing with you at this season of your life? I have old crews, and I think of them, and I was just praising God for them. Spend some time this week on your own spiritual timeline and the people that God has put in your life. And thank God for each and every one of them. Well, do a walk down memory lane. It'll be good for you in January of 2017. And when you think of your past crews and your present crews, thank God for them. And in your present crew right now, man, tell them, I want you to know I really appreciate you being in my life. If you're lacking shipmates in your life right now, what is keeping you from community? If you don't have any shipmates in your life right now, can I ask you why? What's keeping you from Christian community? Is it because you're too busy? Then as your pastor, can I tell you, you are too busy and you need to slow down. You might need to reconsider the pace of your life if you've removed. Let me say this. If your Christian experience is one Sunday morning a week, you're missing out. To walk into a service and to hear a message and to leave, you are missing incredible opportunities to really sail in your faith, and you're missing opportunities for God to use you to help other people sail in their faith. You need community. Do you understand? If you are listening to this message, you're like, you know what? A little convicted here. I could use some more shipmates in my life. If that's you, that's what our growth groups are all about. Right now, we have 16 growth groups meeting throughout the week in different people's homes, and there's always an extra seat. If you're here today and you're like, you know what, I could use a little bit more shipmates in my life, if that's you, then let us know. Write it, you know, there's like a card right there, that green card in front of you. Hey, I could use some shipmates. Just tell us what I could use some shipmates to sail with. And tell us what days of the week you'd be available, and we'll call you this week, we'll get you in a group. And when you go to that group, you walk in the group and just bring your notes from this morning and say, let's talk. Because discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. It's always surrounded around God's word, man. Let's just share our life and our faith together. I shared with you last week that my nephew, I told a story about my nephew last week, who his parents raised him in the church. He forest home and camps and the whole nine yards. And I remember when my nephew went away to college, I told him, man, make sure to find a good assembly of believers up in Colorado where he went to school. And he didn't. And then within the first 2 years, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I haven't found. You need to find Campus Crusade. You need to find InterVarsity. You need to get, nope, 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 nope. And all of a sudden, by year three, by year four, he's now a complete atheist. His faith went, the college took him to this within 4 years, but it was his fault. He allowed it. He removed himself from community. Then it became him, and now we have great conversations. As he looks at me and thinks I'm just some person who believes in mythology, and I'm deceived in believing in a God because we just came from nothing. And that's his new philosophy of life. He needs C.S. Lewis. Can we? I want to pray for us right now as a church. As your pastor, I want to pray over you. Would you all bow your heads? Lord God Almighty, we come before you this Sunday morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as a congregation of people at Woodbridge Community Church, I thank you for our church, God. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that we sail with. I thank you, Lord, for those around us on their own spiritual journeys and how we have the opportunity to share our faith with them and their faith with us. I ask, God, that you would help us to love each other more here at this church. I pray, God, that you would help us to pray for each other more at this church. I pray, God, that you would help us to encourage one another more at this church, to admonish each other more at this church. God, teach us how to serve one another more at this church. Teach us, Lord, how to teach each other better at this church. God, help us to accept each other here at this place, at this church. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, show us how to honor each other in this church. Show us the mystery of how to forgiving one another at this church. Teach us how to be committed to each other at this church. Help us, Lord, to bear one another's burdens in this church. And we ask that this would happen for your glory. That God, if you would teach us how to do this better, that all people in the city of Irvine would know that we're your disciples. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be the people that you've called us to be and to do the things that you've asked us to do. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who would agree would say what? Amen. Amen, right? This is a great church. I love this church. That's why I keep staying at this church. I love this church. You know what's so cool? There's a brother in our church who's been out of work for quite a while. And we've been praying for him and bearing his burdens. And there is nothing like it when you pray for a person on a Sunday morning and then you see him on a Thursday night with tears. I got the job. And you just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He does not walk alone. That family does not walk alone. Do you know, the church was born on the southern steps of the Temple Mount, most people believe, in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2, there's a description of when the church began 2,000 years ago, that the Spirit of God came upon the church. And the Apostle Peter stood up and spoke, and he said, what's happening, the supernatural experience of what's happening in the church is a prophecy from the Old Testament book of Joel, that when the Holy Spirit would come upon people, people would see visions and dream dreams, and there would be signs and wonders and all these spiritual things that would happen. Our faith is not just a cognitive faith, our faith is a supernatural faith. And our God, supernaturally, is in our presence here this morning. We're going to be playing a song for you now. It's a new song, and I got to tell you, when I first saw this song, I was like, this is the book of Acts, chapter 2. I heard this song. The song comes out of Australia, and there's some people in Australia writing some anointed stuff. It's called Open Heaven, And this song speaks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit falling on people. It's funny, my wife and I, we've been hearing this song, and there's a special sister in our church named Azar, who had a vision of Jesus as a Muslim. Who had a vision of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is doing visions in the 21st century? She had a vision of Jesus. And she came to this church and said, "Help me understand Jesus." We baptized her last May in Christ. And she's like, "Doesn't all Christians get visions of Jesus?" I'm like, "I've never had a vision of Jesus." But it happens by the power of the Spirit. Two things are going to happen as we close our service today. I want you to sit in your seat and think about this message and let God speak into your heart. I want you to look at this song and say, "Wow, look at the faith we have." So worship and sing with us. If you're here today, the scripture says that if you have burdens and cares and sorrows and physical and issues and so forth, come and seek the leaders of the church and let the people of the church pray for you. And we exercise this biblical mandate of James chapter 5 right after the message on a Sunday morning. If you're here today and there's just a burden in your heart so heavy that you need someone to come alongside you and pray with you, we invite you during this next set of songs to come forward and receive prayer from the leaders at the church. If you're here today and you've got a spiritual issue, maybe you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus, you've never done that before, come forward and we will lead you before the throne of God. If you're here today and you've got financial needs, emotional needs, physical needs, our God heals bodies for his glory. And we'll anoint you with oil and pray over you. If you're here today and you have such a joy in your heart and you just want to come before God's altar here and say, "We want to give you praise," we will pray with you. The Lord sees you, my friends. He's amazing. And we are a family. We are an assembly of believers. And we are here for you. And you are here for us. And that's just the way it is. I'm going to ask at this time for my brother Mike to come on up. Pat's sick. My wife, Cinda, come up and pray with me. Doc, you're here. Pastor Vince, where's Mike? Okay, good. Up in the balcony, Pastor Graham and BJ. BJ is going to be praying for you up there. If you have needs, we'd just love to. So two things are happening. I want you to check out this song and tell me how amazing this song is. If you listen closely, you'll hear the Trinity in this song. Listen to this song. Worship the Lord together. As you're watching people come up for prayer, pray with them. In the midst of the song, say, "God, we lift before you these people. Pray for the burdens on their heart. Lord, open heaven. Holy Spirit, come upon this place. Fill us anew, we pray. We praise you for your mystery, for the spiritual amazingness of our faith, the supernatural miraculous of our faith. We celebrate the totality of the ship that we sail in. In Jesus' name, amen."